It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome. Thanks for joining me today. Hope you're having a good day. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, your podcast host. Now, I created this podcast in order to bring parents useful information that they can use to help their children all the way from the crib to the country club, from the bassinet to the boardroom. Today's discussion is what I call an essential knowledge edition of DocSmo.com, because what we're going to talk about is so important, and every new parent needs to know all of the stuff that we're going to discuss today. I'm going to bring you the new recommendations from the Academy of Pediatrics with regard to safe sleep practices for infants. I'm going to discuss what they consider the state of the art. A few years ago, the Academy commissioned a task force to look at all the available data and make recommendations based on that evidence and somewhat their opinion as to what would constitute the safest sleep environment for babies. So get ready, sharpen up those pencils if you're a new parent, particularly bringing a newborn home. I have some detailed recommendations for you hot off the AAP press. Now, this is a particularly important subject for infants, that's children under a year of age, because deaths during sleep are actually the most common cause of death in infancy during that first year. So pay close attention, learn what the experts at the AAP think constitutes the safest sleep environment for an infant. Now, let me remind my listeners that I'm probably not your child's doctor. And for specific advice regarding your child, consult that wonderful person you call your child's doctor. First, some definitions so we're all on the same page. Now, our discussion today revolves around deaths that occur in infancy during sleep time in the first year of life, after a baby has transitioned from the birth process. So we're not talking about events that occur in the first few days of life. We're talking about older infants. And these fall into a few categories. First is apnea. Now, apnea is a medical term for lack of breathing that is usually centrally mediated. That is, the child's brain forgetting to tell them to breathe. And this is very common in premature infants before they have the mature centers in the brain to control breathing, especially during sleep. Remember, no need for breathing in the womb, so those immature preemies just forget to breathe, especially if they're asleep. Now, SIDS stands for Sudden Infant Death Syndrome, and with this, it's implied that a child is found dead but cannot be explained through any medical reason. A medical investigation, which would include an autopsy, screening for toxins and metabolic diseases, no sign of trauma, no sign of sickness, no sign of suffocation. Presumably, the terminal event in a SIDS death is an apneic spell, usually occurring during sleep, where a child probably just forgets to breathe and dies. Now, in recent years, a new category has been added, what's called SUID, or Sudden Unexpected Infant Death. And this is any sleep-associated sudden death of an infant, whether explained or unexplained, which does include the SIDS category, but it also includes deaths from suffocation, asphyxia, entrapment, infections, toxic ingestions, metabolic diseases, cardiac deaths, and trauma, whether it be accidental or non-accidental. In years past, a infant death that was sleep-related was investigated using autopsy and traditional medical investigations. But in recent years, a new tool has been added, which is a scene investigation. And this has been a major advance. a detailed look at the scene, the sleep environment of a child who has a sleep-associated death, has revealed that many of these fall into the suffocation, asphyxia, entrapment kind of category and really aren't SIDS deaths. So this has been a big shift, and that's why we have this new category called SUID, the sudden unexpected infant death, which includes SIDS deaths, but also includes explainable infant deaths due to problems with sleep environment for these infants. The goal of the new emphasis on safe sleep environments is to eliminate all sleep-associated deaths in infants, whether they be the SIDS type or the SUID type. Here is the consensus, the nitty-gritty from the Academy experts on the do's and don'ts when it comes to providing a safe place for an infant to sleep. First, the do's. Except in rare cases, they recommend back to sleep for every sleep in the first year. Not side, not elevated, not in or on a device such as a wedge, just flat on their backs. And that surface needs to be firm and conform to the consumer product safety standards for all sleeping. That means naps during the day as well as sleeping at night. Your baby's mattress should have no gaps around the edges. That's a suffocation risk. And should only be covered by a fitted sheet. No loose bedding, no toys, no bumpers. We don't want anything getting near your baby's face. And that includes clothing. Nothing should be put on a baby's head. And they should be dressed in light, comfortable clothing, such as a one-piece sleeper in a room that is between 68 and 72 degrees, with no more than one layer on more than adults would wear in the same environment. So if you are wearing two layers, it's okay to put three layers on the baby, but no more. We don't want to overbundle a baby, and we certainly don't want to let any clothing get near the baby's face. And breastfeeding, you know, always a great thing. When it comes to SIDS, it's also a great thing. It's been shown that mothers who breastfeed their babies have a lower chance of experiencing a SIDS death. And consider using a pacifier after breastfeeding is established. They found that there was a reduction in the rate of SIDS in babies who fell asleep using a pacifier. Now here's another new recommendation. They want babies to sleep in a crib or an appropriate sleep surface in the room with their parents for a while. They do not define what a while is, but I think they are thinking the first 4 to 6 months. It's okay to put your baby down on their tummies for supervised tummy time as soon as your baby gets home from the hospital, and this prevents that flat spot on the back of the head. However, they want that place to be as safe as their regular sleep place, and they obviously want a parent right there watching all the time when a baby's on their tummy. Okay, so now we're going to get into a long list of don'ts when it comes to sleep in infancy. First, never use pillows or soft bedding, such as a sheepskin or quilts in a baby's sleep environment. And they should not wear pajamas that involved hoods or anything that can get near their face. And if you absolutely have to use a blanket because you live in such a cold place that your baby just has to have a blanket, it needs to be tucked firmly under the mattress so that it cannot get loose. We don't want a blanket coming loose and getting near a baby's face. And a crib should be free of loose toys and mobiles that can be reached. And nothing should be tied to a baby, such as jewelry or one of those pacifier tethers. That has a strangulation risk. And those co-sleepers that have become very popular, you know, devices that attach to the mama's bed so she doesn't have to go get Junior, well, those are not recommended. And when a baby is fed in a parent's bed at night, they must go back into their safe sleep environment. They must go back into the crib or the bassinet or whatever. Infants should not sleep with other people, such as siblings or parents. And monitors. These have become very big. Cardiorespiratory monitors, as well as video and audio monitors. These are not recommended by the AAP. And don't use a crib that has any broken or mended parts. If you borrow a crib and you have to fashion it back together, or you have an old one, just go get another crib. This is not safe for babies. Now, never let a baby sleep on an adult who is drowsy or asleep. This is a big one because people, they're exhausted and they will do anything to get a little bit of sleep. And it's common to see and hear about babies sleeping on their parents, maybe in a recliner, maybe on the couch. This is a big, big no-no because not only could you may drop the baby or roll over on the baby, but the baby may get wedged in an unusual position, and that is a big risk for interrupting their breathing. Never let an infant sleep in a device that covers their face or has the potential to cover their face. Don't leave your baby sleeping in a car seat or any kind of carrier. These are not approved sleep surfaces for babies. Never smoke around a baby, either before the baby's born or after the baby's born. And never use drugs or alcohol while caring for your infant. Long list, but there's some great advice there. Well, there's good evidence for all these recommendations. They're fantastic goals, but it's easier said than done. I recently got a note from a mom with a now 3-month-old baby who was born late preterm. That means they were premature, but just barely premature. And you could hear the angst in her note. Let me read a portion of it to you so you can get a feel for it. Quote, "It can be very frustrating as a parent trying to preserve one's own sanity when doctors make these rulings that are not so easy to execute in the trenches, like, never doze with your baby, no toys in the bed, car seat must face backwards." This mom was particularly distressed when alone in the car with her young infant because she couldn't tend to his needs. Or another recommendation, sleeping in unapproved device may result in death. Never leave baby unattended. "How do I go to the bathroom?" she asks. She goes on to say, "It's enough to make anyone lose their marbles. I know doctors just want the best for us, but take pity on us poor, sleep-deprived parents." Well, here's hoping that you don't lose your marbles. We need all the healthy, energetic parents we can get to raise this next generation. Well, if you want to read the full Academy of Pediatrics recommendations when it comes to safe sleep environments for infants, check out the references in the SMO notes. Those are the references on my website. And thanks for joining me today. I always appreciate it. Take the plunge and subscribe for your free pediatric education by getting the RSS feed directly off docsmo.com by hitting that RSS button, or sign up on iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter. Remember, this is a blog, so your comments are welcome and may possibly be posted for others to ponder and comment on. This is your podcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from the beautiful studio 1E, that's first child's bedroom, east side of the house in Charlotte, North Carolina, hoping it's not a great leap for you to provide a safe place for your infant to sleep. Until next time. I want to thank the following people for help with the production of this podcast. David, Golden Voice Jaffe, for his intro voiceover. Seth Jaffe, the Rocket Man Barrister, for his inspirational guidance. Wendy Smolin, chief of our talented legal staff. Sarah, the Wizard Smolin, for her digital editing and photography. And Robert Beezer, Ben Smolin, and Jerome Moof for producing this beautiful intro and outro music you were listening to. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocsMo.com website. This DocsMo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.